Welcome to the DrDavidMarlin.com Stable Science Podcast. I'm Dr. David Marlin, and along with a great team of experts, I'm helping horse owners and riders achieve optimal performance for their much-loved horses. In these podcasts, we will discuss science-led research, technology, information, and advice to help you care for your horses so they may live healthier, happier, and longer lives. To support the podcast and all our research and science for horses, go to our website, www.drdavidmarlin.com. And to learn more about what we do and the hot topics under discussion, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to this podcast for the Dr. David Marlin members. My name is Dr. Gillian Tabor. I am a chartered physiotherapist and I specialise in the treatment and the rehabilitation of horses. So this is going to be a research review podcast and I have picked a paper that has literally just come out in a journal. And it is all about hay nets and how horses eat from them and what effects that it has on them. So in the title, they talk about the posture and the pull pressure when horses are eating from the hay nets. So this caught my attention because last winter I did a webinar that talked about how to manage your horse that might be spending more time inside a stable. And obviously, when they're inside the stable, we've got to provide forage for them. And there's a lot of debate about how the best practice is for this. So we know that horses in the wild would spend long durations of time eating, and they would eat relatively low nutrient quality feed. So they have to eat for long durations, high fibre and relatively low calorie. So they can get away in feral conditions with eating, you know, for 12, 16, 18 hours a day. And they don't have problems with overconsumption of food and then retaining some of those calories in storage as adipose tissue. So basically, they don't get fat. We have a problem, though, with stabled horses in the fact that actually, I shouldn't limit it just to stabled horses, should I? I should say that our horses that are usually more of the native type of breed, you know, our companion animals, our ponies, and we do have issues with obesity. And then obesity can lead to all sorts of complicated diseases such as laminitis and equine metabolic syndrome. So we need to limit the excess adipose tissue that our horses have on them. So to do that, we need to limit the amount of food that they have in relation to the amount of energy or calories that they're burning through just you know, just being alive, the processes that our body use, but also through excess. So it's that thermodynamics rule that states that, you know, the balance is equal when the energy in is equal to the energy out. If we take too much energy in terms of food and we don't burn it off, then we will store fat. And if we don't take enough in, but we burn more calories through exercise and activity and normal daily functions, for instance, our brain uses up a lot of calories just by thinking and keeping us alive, then we'll be in a negative energy balance, and then we will lose weight. So back to the point, horses in our modern management systems tend to be on the higher body condition score. They have tended to be having issues with obesity. So when we have a horse in the stable, they're not moving around, and we are can quite easily overfeed them. The other problem that we have when horses are stabled is that they are not spending long durations of time eating forage. And that is a problem because they might finish a hay net, you know, in an hour, and then they might stand there for 6 hours or 8 hours without any food in the stable. And we know that the consequences of that are some effect on the gastrointestinal tract. So we have issues with stomach ulcers, which are made particularly worse if the horses have periods of time where there is no food coming through the stomach. Basically, we need food, we need chewing and saliva to buffer the acid in the stomach. Otherwise, we get damage to the lining in the stomach, and that's when we get ulcers. So we've got the problem. We don't want to feed too much because we don't want to make them obese, but we need to feed them so that they are doing their sort of ethological natural behavior of eating all the time. So methods to do that involve slow feeding systems. So in the literature, and going back to this article that I'm reviewing, they do reference some of the studies that I spoke about in the webinar about called Thinking Inside the Box. But basically, slow feeding systems have been designed and are sold to try and slow the ingestion rate of a horse. So it means that if you've put a hay net up, rather than them finishing it in half an hour, it might take them 2 hours to finish it. There's added benefits as well. It reduces waste, as well as reducing weight. And also it means that you can perhaps limit the volume of food if they are taking longer to eat what they and what they have given to them for their sort of daily rations. So in general, we want to increase the intake time for forage. And as I said, the papers that this article reference actually talk about systems such as double netting. So you put one hay net inside another, or triple netting. And there is research on hay bags, which are hung from the ceiling, or slow feeders, which are a little bit more like dustbins with grids on them. Some of the issues that we have with those, certainly with the triple netting, is that it did increase frustration behaviours in some horses because they couldn't get the food out of there very easily. And so there was some consequences to behaviour. And the other main sort of complaint that people have about using hay nets is the position that the horse is in when they're eating from them. So we know that wild or feral horses would spend a large percentage of their forage ingestion time with their head down grazing. They wouldn't do that for 100% of the time, though. They would go and browse trees and shrubs. And we know that they've got more than adequate neck range of motion to be able to achieve that. But in the stable, if the horse is stabled for 24 hours and we're only feeding from a hay net that is just set at one height, we're not replicating those normal behaviours where the horse is eating down from the ground. We know that when their head is down on the ground, we actually get traction through the ligament of the neck, the nuchal ligament, onto the supraspinous ligament that runs over the tips of the dorsal spinous processes, which actually lifts the vertebrae in the thoracolumbar region and creates traction and space between the dorsal spinous processes. So we've got benefits through the whole back. And also, I believe that there is an influence on how the teeth meet each other. So the molars that chew and grind up the forage. I believe that when the horse is eating down from the ground, the lower jaw is in a different position than it would be if it was eating from, say, shoulder height all the time. So you can see that if we're feeding our horse, you know, artificially with hay in a hay net just in a single place, we're going to have an effect on, you know, the dental health of the horse and also the musculoskeletal health, so the back health. But putting the hay down on the ground is all lovely, but as I have just gone through, it is very easy and quick for the horse to eat up their rations really, really quickly. So this paper aimed to assess the hay net type and looked at hanging options, and they measured the pressure to pull out the forage and the posture of the horse whilst it was doing so. They also looked at the forage type, so they compared haylage to hay in one part of their study. So the first part of the study was that they had six horses in a crossover design. So all horses were measured in all four conditions, and these conditions were a single hay net or a double layered hay net, and then in two positions of how they were fixed to the wall. They had a low position where the top of the hay net was set so that it was just 2.5 centimetres above the withers, and they had a high position where the top of the hay net was 30 centimetres above the withers. And they did this over a number of days. They had sort of two sets of data collection days, and they'd given the horses time to sort of get used to having the hay nets in the different positions as well. So it wasn't novel to the horse to come into this environment and eat either from different positions or different levels of feed. So the horses, interestingly, they commented that they were on poor or low quality grazing, and they had withheld the food for up to an hour before the data collection period started in a different stable. So they took the horse into the stable and they tried to get it to stand still, and they measured a few things whilst the horse was eating. So cleverly, and this is what I liked, because when I read the title of the paper, I was really worried, thinking that they had put some kind of pressure mat on the horse, perhaps, you know, over the poll, underneath the head collar, or somewhere through the back. But actually, the way they measured the force was to put a device, a force meter, between the hay net and the wall, so they could measure the amount of pull that the horse applied onto the hay net. They measured the force as well as videoing the horse from the side, and they put markers on and they looked at the angle at the poll and the angle at the withers, and they sampled that every 10 seconds over 5 minutes. They also designed an ethogram. So in this, they categorised certain behaviours and then counted the frequency of them occurring. And they talked about eating or biting at the hay net, or more extreme behaviours such as biting and then flinging the hay net, or just flinging it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So that was the first part of the study. They then had a second start of this study because they noted the frustration behaviours in the ethogram for study one. And this frustration and bite flinging made them, I think, probably stop what they were doing and reassess the haynet attachment. So they attached it to the top and the bottom. The other issue that they had with study one was that the actual force meter didn't measure below 50 newtons, so 5 kilos. So any low pressure wasn't measured. So it sort of gave a bit of an artificially high average. But in study two, they had 10 horses and they stuck to the sort of higher hanging position. So the results, they very clearly presented. They had the raw data in tables. They had some really nice pictures as well. So in the study, you're able to see exactly how they'd set up the data collection phase. But the data that comes out suggests that there's a much higher maximum pull pressure when the hay was being extracted from a double netted hay net. So the single hay net had a maximum mean force of 114 newtons and the double had 157 newtons. They also found that the mean pull over the 50 newton mark, which the system was measuring, was also a lot higher in the double hay netted situation. When they compared low hanging hay nets to higher hanging hay nets, they found that the maximum pull was a lot higher with the lower hung hay nets of 152 newtons compared to the higher of 160. So the hay net was definitely flinging more in the double hay net situation, and also when it was low hung as well, they saw that it sort of pulled up and down. The problem was is when the horses actually flung it around, it reduced the pressure reading from the little device down to zero. And then when it went up in the air and then came right down, so it would fall back down again, it would give these sort of artificially high peaks in their measurements that they had to go through and remove manually. So that is something that they noticed in their limitations. They found that the poll angles were different. So when they had a single netted hay net, the poll angle was 90 degrees and a double netted hay net, it was 127. But what it was is rather than thinking about the greater angle being a good thing. So if you think about when the horse's nose is down on the ground eating from sort of grazing, the angle at the poll would be bigger. But they found actually it was to do with the horse lifting their head up. And there were instances when the whole head and face were up above the ears. Up and above the withers. So the whole head went up and back, which, you know, it didn't look nice in the pictures that they showed. There wasn't actually changes to the wither angle, whether or not it was single or double netted or high or low. So that didn't change at all. But as I said, there was a 37% greater change on posture in the double netted hay net. And they said that was due to resistance. So this flinging and the effect on the fact that the head collar, the hay net could lift up and the horse could lift their head meant that this study two modified it slightly. So they put this double attachment on it. And then they compared trying to get haylage out of the hay net to hay net to hay, and then whether it was a single or double netted hay net. There was a much, much greater amount of force required to take haylage out of a hay net, whether it was single or double. And the haylage coming out of a double net needed 192 newtons as a mean force, whereas hay only had 39 newtons. So there was a huge difference in force required there. So a single net also increased. So with haylage, it was 74 newtons, and with hay, it was only 20 newtons. So we do need to consider those maximum forces. There's obviously going to be results or effects through the whole body. When they talked about the type of hay or haylage, the hay that they used, they said, was dry and brittle, and they saw that horses ate it from the hay net in a more sort of grazing behaviour. So they took out small pieces and nibbled at it. And they were suggesting that this actually would mean that the horse would be able to finish that hay net quite quickly. So their suggestion was, with that type of hay, it would benefit from being double netted. Whereas if you've got haylage, what you don't want to do is to put it in a double net to slow it down, but actually increase the frustration and then the sort of consequences of this flinging and a change in the posture. Because what we don't want is, we don't want the muzzle to go above the ears in the stable when they're regularly eating. Now, obviously, they have the range of motion to achieve that. And if they were out in sort of feral or wild environments, they would browse from the hedges and from trees and things, but they wouldn't be doing that for prolonged periods. So we don't want those high poll angles. So the limitations of the study were written up clearly, and one of the big ones was the fact that the force gauge in study one didn't measure below 50 newtons, and also the hay net fixing did change. So you can't really compare study one and study two. But what I quite liked was the honesty from the authors, because they published both of these studies within one paper. Sometimes you find that authors try and sort of spread out small amounts of information into multiple papers, which actually, like these authors have done, give you a lot more clarity when they're put in together. So in conclusion, with the haylage, the pull pressure was 2.6 times greater as a mean value, so the average, and the maximum pull was 1.6 times greater than with hay. And there was an increased bite frequency with the hay, but each time they did that, they had sort of lower intake rates, whereas with the haylage, the horses were sort of struggling to pull it out, and when they did pull it out, it sort of come in out in clumps. So the major concerns taking these results forward is that you have these really high peak pressures, and you just wonder what the effect might be on the musculoskeletal system and also on the dentition on the teeth. And obviously this paper doesn't answer that question, but it does go sort of some way to actually evidencing our anecdote with regards to what we see when we watch our horses trying to eat from hay nets. So the take-home message really is, if you're feeding haylage, then it needs to be with larger holes. Don't try and put it behind double nets, because you'll increase frustration and all this sort of flinging around. But if you've got, you know, dry, soft hay that is really easy and quick for them to eat, then, you know, that would benefit from being in a double net. So, really nice study, relatively simple, but I imagine there was quite a lot of data that they had to analyse from the two studies that they had. It's like the one that measured posture with the three different heights of hay net. It's just adding to our evidence base, really. I don't know that we have got something that is perfect. I don't think we can say from this study that, you know, you mustn't use hay nets. We haven't got any linking between the behaviours and the forces that are documented and the posture that has been shown. No links yet to pathology or injury. We just have to go on a bit of sort of pragmatism, a bit of common sense with regards to the possible outcomes if you are going to, for instance, put haylage behind two nets and let your horse do all sorts of funky postures and get very frustrated eating it. But as ever, if you've got any questions, then do drop us an email or put it in the group and then we can have a chat about it. And yeah, I hope you enjoyed listening, and I'll catch you soon on my next podcast, Research Review.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I hope you enjoyed this podcast and the Stable Science series. If you want to learn more about this topic and our work, head over to the drdavidmarlin.com website. Our website and community of members discuss a wide breadth of topics, and the website houses thousands of articles, webinars, videos and research, all designed to help horse owners, riders, trainers and breeders achieve optimal performance for their much-loved horses. The drdavidmarlin.com site is an independent information resource for all equestrians, a source of unbiased, science-based research. To learn more about what we do and the hot topics under discussion, follow us on Facebook, Instagram or Twitter.